to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Hi all, welcome back. It's Ladies of Liverpool, the podcast. Thanks very much for tuning in. Hopefully you've pressed subscribe. If you've got an iPhone and you've got the podcast app, the little purple thing that shows up on your phone, it's already there. You don't even have to download it on most phones. Hopefully you've pressed subscribe and you're getting every single episode every week. This one is going to be an eye-opener. So we are talking about HIV awareness. Got two ladies in. We've got Serena. She's going to be discussing all the work she does to get more and more people in our city tested for HIV and for discussing their HIV status. We've got Nikki. Nikki's been living with HIV for a long time and she's going to sit here and talk you through her story. She's going to be very honest. She's going to make you aware that everybody is susceptible to catching this virus. Everything you believe you know about HIV might all be a load of rubbish. So we're going to speak to Nikki, who won a UKC Hero of the Year award and has a lot to say. Now, if you are affected in any way after listening to this podcast, here's a number for you to call for any advice that you might need. It's 0151 237 3989. And if you'd like a HIV awareness training session booked in your workplace, I'm sure these ladies will come down and talk to you personally. But for now, this is the Ladies of Liverpool podcast discussing HIV.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So interesting week this week. We're asking you to get up close and personal with yourself, with your own past, just looking forward to your future, making sure you are one step ahead. We've got two brilliant ladies in today. We're going to be nice and open and honest about what's going on in our city. We've got Serena first. Let's speak to you, Serena. What's your job? What do you do?
I'm the health promotion lead for Sahir House. And Sahir House is Merseyside's HIV charity.
Okay, so you've got an important job to do at the moment.
Yeah, we're planning already for World AIDS Day, which is in, not until December, but our planning starts now. Mm-hmm. And also the week before World AIDS Day in November is National HIV Testing Week. So we're already on the hunt for people to commit to have an HIV test, be open and honest about their HIV status and normalise HIV testing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah. So we're going to do our best then today to chat about our own situations, our own circumstances, our own status.
Definitely.
There is a Twitter campaign as well, isn't there, where you can use a hashtag to spread awareness. Can we do that now, Serena, or is that, do we wait until November?
No, we can start doing that now. We're at Sahir House, we run that throughout the year anyway, because people throughout the year are still being our HIV champions. Yeah. Certainly tweet it. At Sahir House, hashtag HIV champions.
Fantastic. Can you give us some stats, Serena, about Liverpool and our HIV and AIDS rates?
Well, HIV testing, it's really hard to collate those figures. So we're normally a couple of years behind because it takes so long for those numbers to be collated and collected from all the testing centres.
Yeah.
And for some people, they may go out of the city to have a HIV test because maybe, I don't know, Auntie Jean's the receptionist in the clinic, or
you don't think of that,
you
do
work
you?
Yourself in the hospital or the clinic setting. So we are regularly seeing around 200 people a year who are HIV positive who we support.
Okay.
However, we have hundreds more in our database.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that people are getting on with their lives with HIV as well that we're not seeing. So that's great.
Yeah.
So maybe on a yearly basis in the Northwest, there's around maybe 500-ish people getting tested a year.
And how many years have you been doing what you do?
Oh my gosh, I've been there around 20 years. So can't get rid of me.
You must have seen a bit of a difference in how people react around diagnosis, how they speak to the families about it, maybe the different kinds of people you've got coming through your front door.
Absolutely.
Ready and willing to be tested. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, the nature of HIV and it's changed over the years. So when I first came into the organisation as a volunteer, it was predominantly gay men we were supporting.
Yeah.
And probably, although a group that were, they were more active around getting tested, they were more aware of HIV.
Yeah.
They are more aware of how HIV can affect somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
So they were being positive and active around it. So maybe that's why it looked like gay men were the biggest group.
Yes. Yeah.
However, then we were seeing more women and children. And then as Liverpool is a dispersal city, people from other countries.
Yes.
So we can see that HIV can affect anybody.
Yeah, and that
does affect anybody.
That's the truth of HIV, isn't it?
And we see, if someone's has high risk behaviour, and sometimes that phrase can be a bit misleading as well. High risk, I don't have high risk behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
Unprotected sex once is high risk behaviour.
Yes.
So that's when you've put yourself at risk of HIV and maybe other STIs.
Just the one time.
Just, it can be just one time.
That's
yeah.
what we need yeah. to stress, don't we, during this podcast?
So,
it's that
yeah.
one time. And the thing with it is, I remember speaking to a lady years ago when I was working in schools.
Yeah.
She'd looked after herself. She'd never had a one-night stand. Mm-hmm. She thought there was no way in the world. But her partner, without her knowing, mm-hmm. was living a totally different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she contracted HIV. Yeah. She used to come in and speak to the children about it.
Okay.
And that really opened my eyes because, forgive me, but years ago, I hadn't even thought of that. It was that it was you. You'd obviously done something or, you know.
We're all responsible for our own behaviour yeah. and for ourselves. So we can never blame somebody else for giving us something because we need to look after ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the situation you've just spoken about is
when you're in a trusting
relationship.
It's
a little bit of a rarity,
yeah.
but it can and does.
It can
and obviously
happen.
By, you know, your testament there, it does happen and it can happen. And it's how open can we be about our sexual relationships, our sexual history,
yeah.
our past,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can we can maybe meet somebody and like, oh yeah, you know, one or two relationships, but yeah. maybe there's a few holiday romances in there that you don't want to talk about.
Yes.
And the same goes for the other person. How mm-hmm. open and honest can we be about our history? But what we can do is from now is, you know, go and get tested and maybe a full MOT around your sexual health.
So people can come to you direct. Tell us where you are, where you're based.
Okay, so we're based in Liverpool City Centre and we're a support agency. So we support people with HIV.
Yeah.
And lots of different support that we offer. And we also deliver a lot of HIV awareness training, health promotion, education, mm-hmm. go in schools, lead the campaigns related to HIV. So that's our work.
Right.
We do offer some testing on the Wirral, which is on a Wednesday evening. You can contact Sir House for that. That's an instant result on a Wednesday evening. But there's various other clinic settings on Merseyside and in Liverpool where you can go and get a HIV test.
Okay.
So you can either contact us and find out where to test or go to your local GUM clinic, sexual health clinic. And while you're there, you'll probably be offered a full sexual health screening, which just go for it.
Yes.
Get tested for everything. If you don't get a clean bill of health, what will happen is you'll be given the correct medication to get well mm-hmm. or keep, if you are HIV positive and you're diagnosed at the clinic, you will be encouraged to go on medication straight away.
Yeah.
Now, what that will do, if you are HIV positive, the virus will kind of slow down
yeah.
in your body. It will become almost inactive. So after about 3 months, 6 months, when your bloods have been checked and the medication is working well, you would be then hopefully undetectable. So that means if you are HIV positive, you're taking your meds correctly,
mm-hmm.
they're working well, and your virus is gone right down to being undetectable, you can't pass the virus on.
What progress we've made.
Isn't
medically
that amazing? Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah.
You know, years ago it was a death sentence,
that
wasn't
amazing.
It? That's what
yeah.
that's what we all read.
Yeah. So when we go back to kind of, if I go out and have unprotected sex with somebody
yeah.
who doesn't know their status and may be HIV positive, then I'm going to be at risk at getting that HIV. If I go out and have unprotected sex with somebody who is HIV positive and they know their status and they're on medication and their viral load is undetectable,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get HIV.
Wow. That is
yeah.
amazing.
So knowing your status, knowing your mm-hmm. HIV status is so important now to make it work with all the other strands of what's going on around
yeah.
HIV with medication. Undetectable means untransmittable. So it's a U equals U campaign.
Yes.
It's international. It's not just us on Merseyside
yeah.
believing this. And, you know, this is an international campaign with proven research. So if you're on HIV positive, on medication, and it's working well, you're not the one passing the virus on. It's people out there who are maybe think they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a gay man. They're not a sex worker.
Yeah.
They're not a drug user. Oh, I had a HIV test a few years ago. I'm all right. It's not me. So they may go out and maybe, you know, take a risk, have unprotected sex that once with somebody who also doesn't know their HIV status.
Yeah.
And that's where the virus is being passed on mm-hmm. in those situations. So that's why it's so important about talking to, you know, you, talking to the public and raising awareness of how important it is to know your HIV status.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Well, we're lucky enough today in the studio to have with us Nikki. Now, Nikki, you are actually at the moment, your status is HIV positive.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you talk us through your journey then? How long have you known that you're HIV positive?
How long have you got, Leanne?
Oh,
gosh,
we've got
is,
as long
this
as
is
it
a long
takes.
Story.
I'd like to hear it.
I was diagnosed 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just sitting here now, it gives me a moment, because I don't, believe it or not, think about HIV very much these days. But years ago, obviously, you know, it was, as we mentioned before, like a death sentence.
Yes.
So 30 years ago, I was a rep in Spain, and I call them my sun, sea, sex and sand days. I mean, you know, we're talking sort of late 80s, mid 80s.
Yeah.
And I'd heard of HIV, but it was only something that affected gay men, drug users and prostitutes.
Back in the 80s, that's what everyone believed.
I wasn't any of those. Mm-hmm. And to see me, you see that I look like anyone's mother, sister, daughter.
Yes.
You know, it was so far from my mind, HIV. And I thought you'd be able to tell. I thought I was safe, I suppose, is the word. So I was in Australia, I was in Sydney, and I was on a 1 year working holiday visa, and I wanted to stay. So part of the residency status application is to have a blood test. So I went along to a little local GP in Bondi. It was me, you know, I had a boyfriend. I'd been seeing him for 5 months, and I sort of went in and I said, I need this blood test. He said, yeah, we'll test you for malaria, Hep A, B and C and HIV. And I remember thinking, great, it'll be good to know I haven't got any of those.
Yeah, and thinking for 1 minute there's a possibility.
I was perfectly well. Yep. I was teaching aerobics. I was like, you know, not ill at all. So
yeah.
I went back 2 weeks later. It was my day off. We were on our way to the beach. So I said to my boy, just pulled up and I said, I'll run in for my certificate.
Yeah.
And the doctor, the receptionist said, I'm sorry, the doctor needs to see you. So I remember going back, I said, you'll have to park and sitting there and thinking, you know, hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
I remember his words, and he said, I've never actually had to tell anyone this before, but I'm telling you that all your other tests have come back negative. However, your HIV test has come back positive. And I heard those words. I was 26 years old and I remember saying to him, I'm sorry, I don't quite understand. Are you telling me I've got AIDS? And he said to me, no, I'm telling you that you've got the virus that causes AIDS. So, I mean, to say I was shocked, I actually froze. I couldn't even speak.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. I didn't know what it meant. I remember taking 3 weeks off work and literally just crying every day,
and
thinking that my life was over.
You're away from home as well.
I was away from home.
Who
and
did
you know
call
what?
Upon, Nikki? Did you lean on anyone other than your boyfriend? Or
no, I was too scared, Leanne, to tell anybody.
To talk
that's
about it,
that's
yeah.
the crazy thing, and it's the thing that sort of, this is why I do this, raising awareness, is because, you know, that I remember thinking, if only I had cancer, I could tell everybody.
Yes. No one would judge me.
I could phone my mum, but I was so scared. In fact, it took me 3 years to pluck up the courage to tell my mum and dad. Because, and this is what I hate, if you like, is the kind of association HIV has with it being like dirty in some way. All it is, all I did was have unprotected sex with somebody who didn't know they had it either.
Oh.
And so, you know, to anyone listening, hands up. If you've ever had unprotected sex.
Yeah.
So if you've ever had unprotected sex, which most of us, when I do these talks a lot, most people raise their hands.
Which includes people in long-term relationships.
Exactly.
You know, marriages.
So
and
just to try and let the judgment go, really.
Yes.
It really can, you know, happen to anybody. And I'm a testament to that, you know.
So your partner at the time, Nikki?
So he was negative. He had a test. We both got retested the next day.
Yeah.
Obviously, I came back to England because I knew I would get my residency declined. I wasn't even going to go there. In fact, my whole perspective on life changed. I suddenly kind of thought, oh, my God, if I don't know how long I've got to live, then I don't want to be the other side of the world. You know, so I came back. And that's when I got in touch with Sahir House. Sahir is actually means positive. So it was kind of another take on that. And with the help of a social worker, we helped set up the first HIV positive women's group.
So you were involved in
so
that?
So I was involved in that right from the beginning, and I can't tell you how much that helped. Sahir House helped me, and it was like a stepping stone of being accepted before I went out in the real world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I really felt like I couldn't tell anybody. I was so scared of being judged, really. But that all changed. So for 11 years, I didn't take medication, and would you believe I wasn't ill at all? So that's something else I want to let people know, is you can have this virus for years and years and years.
11 years
and not
you
even
had it without a symptom?
Without a symptom. Then I got ill very fast, very quickly. And I probably left it a little bit too late to start taking the medication.
Did you not have the medication because it wasn't offered to you, or was that a personal choice?
It was offered. It was a personal choice. Yeah. I got really into sort of health. I thought, okay, this virus affects the immune system, so I'm going to do everything I can to keep my immune system healthy. So, you know, I stopped drinking and smoking and all that kind of, and I got into yoga and healthy eating, just thought, you know, really,
looked
I got rid of a stressful job
and
very much so. And believe it or not, it kind of, this HIV sent me on a different path that I would, you know, not have gone down otherwise.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about the mind, body and soul as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
When you finally spoke to your mum and dad 3 years later, how did you go about talking them through it?
My marriage had broken up because I'd got married after to that guy. I was with. Yeah. But, you know, I'd left my job as well. And I felt like I needed to explain to them what was going on. Yeah. First time I went round, I bottled out. Mm-hmm. Second time I went round again, my mum's like, oh, hello. You know, so I was like, oh, God. I remember going in the bathroom and looking at myself in the mirror. And I was like, you know, just tell them. And it was the worst news. So I was like, Mum, Dad, said, I've got something to tell you. And I bet they both looked a bit worried. My mum was like, are you pregnant? And I was thinking, I wish, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, no. So, you know, I said, listen, you know, that you've heard of the HIV virus. You know, I've caught it. I've gone, you know, and I've found out. And like, they both listened. And I realise now I needed those couple of years to be stronger in myself, because I actually probably needed to offer support as opposed to, I wasn't going to receive support.
Yes.
I was supporting them.
That's a strange way to think about it when it's you and it's your life and it's your health.
Yes.
And just as a Liverpool lady to be thinking of a mum and dad's at the forefront of that, of how do I look after them through this?
Reassuring them that mum, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to look after myself, and I'm going to live with this.
Yes.
So I kind of use that line of, I'm not dying of HIV, I'm living with HIV.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what I used to really say a lot in the women's support group. I used to say, if we think we're going to die of this, the mind and the body are connected.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, and I think that's, you know, yeah, I think I have proved that, actually, that 30 years on, I'm still here, and, you know.
So you started taking the medication then 11 years after diagnosis.
And
what did that involve? How many tablets a day? I believe it was like a cocktail.
We've obviously had that. I had really bad side effects. I had a rash. I had to come off that one. The next one I was on for a couple of years. And I remember being on holiday, I was in Ibiza and I was in love and I was like, I could just throw myself off that balcony. I remember thinking, that doesn't feel right. So I mentioned it to my doctors. He said, it's a side effect of the HIV medication. It goes through the brain and can cause suicidal thought. So
we'll
get you off that one.
How lucky that you acknowledged
exactly
what was happening. You spoke again. It's speaking to people, isn't it?
And the side effects of the medication are what's harder to live with now than the actual HIV.
Is this the case now with the medication today?
It gets better. It gets better every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly, you know, 20 years ago, my next lot of medication affected my heart. And the next lot, I mean, this one I'm on now, it affects your kidneys, but my kidneys are doing okay.
Yeah.
So this is how we're changing them all the time.
Yes.
I've just come off 5 a day down to 2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's made such a difference to me as well. So, you know, I used to take more vitamins. So 2 tablets a day, you know, is
nothing,
great.
Yeah,
it's nothing
for you.
Really.
And you look the picture of health.
I feel it.
I do 4 really a.m. start. Yeah. She looks better than me. Trust me. She looks full of life.
Thank you. Yeah.
And to think 30 years living with HIV, that is such a positive thing.
That's why I love raising awareness, because I do think if I stay hidden and I stay quiet and I say, which, you know, part of me sort of thinks, why should I be out there sort of being a voice of HIV? But I just think this kind of balances it out a little bit, makes all the horribleness right.
Yes.
You know,
it's almost like
awareness.
There's a purpose. There's a reason why this has happened to you. And
absolutely.
You've gone out and helped other people, and that's priceless.
Yes.
So thanks again
for
speaking to us today. Just going back to, you know, you said you had no real symptoms. You lived without any symptoms, no signs for many years.
Yeah.
You did say your health took a turn. And I think it's worth us discussing this just in case people have been in denial maybe for many years and they're starting to get symptoms now and they're listening now thinking, I need to hear it from someone else before I acknowledge what's going on with my body.
What happened with me was it got to about 5. I wasn't well, and I'd had colds in the past and it got better.
Mm-hmm.
And because obviously when you're living with HIV and you get a cold, you think, oh, God, is that it? Because, you know, I wasn't sure how well my immune system was functioning.
Yeah.
And it got about 5 o'clock and I hadn't eaten anything. And I was like, oh, that's not like me. I always have an appetite. So my first indicator was lack of appetite.
Yeah.
Then this cold wasn't clear. It just wasn't getting better. Mm-hmm. And I was just feeling, I got like flu-y and I was like, yeah. I'm just not feeling well at all. So I'm going to go and get my, I had a chest cough then. So I took myself off to the Royal and they were like, you're not going home, basically. Yeah. You're ill. And they thought I had pneumonia. Mm-hmm. So for 4 weeks, I was on antibiotics for pneumonia. Then they'd also tested me for TB. That takes 6 weeks before they can sort of grow. And that my TB test had come back positive.
Right.
Not a TB that I'd caught, but when you're vaccinated with it and you've got no immune system, your immune system can't fight it off. So I was developing it almost from the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was very, very ill, to be honest. I was really, and I actually thought, this is my time, you know. I've had years longer than I thought I'd have.
Only 11 and now we're 30.
Exactly.
And you just think,
so I took the TB medication for 6 months and I started the HIV medication at the same time, you know, which is, as my doctor said, you know, you're typical you've kind of left it all to the last minute. But, you know, it worked.
Yeah.
And, you know, little by little, I got better. And I've been well since.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Now, Serena, you are on a mission with this. And I love how much you're doing at the moment and the people you're managing to get on board.
Yeah.
So besides myself and Ladies of Liverpool, who have you got now with you campaigning to make sure people are getting tested?
Well, in previous testing week campaigns, we've had the Bishop of Liverpool.
Nice.
We've had people from Made in Liverpool. We've had the Radio Merseyside DJs as well come on board.
Brilliant. Who have you had?
We had Gunan. We had we had Roger Phillips.
Lovely.
He was highlighting the over 50s heterosexual men.
I was going to mention this. Was, to you.
And the bishop got on board with that. He was like,
yeah,
because he came out of the test and was like, well, I didn't realise the over 50s heterosexual men are the highest or the hardest group to target.
That's right.
And that's because they're very like, not going to affect me. No, not me. That's
well,
not me.
I read an article and it was discussing, Serena, the whole idea of, you know, now the statistics of marriages breaking down when you get to your late 40s, your 50s and you separate from your partner. And a lot of the time at that point, you start dating again and you haven't done it for years and maybe you're not as confident stepping forward, suggesting using a condom. And you know, you're thrown into this whole world of one night stands and things like that. And you're not sure how to handle it. And this article was saying we need to raise awareness for that whole situation that's going on, whether it's your mum and dad or your nan and granddad.
Yeah, Leanne, you're right.
For the younger people to be discussing, you know, sexual health with the older generations.
Yeah.
Do you see this?
Well, no one wants to think of the nan or granddad, do they?
It's happening.
That.
It's happening. It's going on.
But it's more acceptable with relationship breakdowns. We've got access to the internet, dating sites. And even if you just, you know, you meet somebody and it's the first person you meet and engage in a sexual relationship with them when you're over 50, it's still worth getting yourself checked out and them. And then you're kind of starting on a fresh foot.
Yeah.
You know, you know each other's health, sexual health status.
Yeah.
And I know with my parents, they never got any sexual health information.
No.
We've had people at Sahir House, one of our oldest service users, you know, a grandmother and, in, you know, a widow and, you know, started a new relationship, which, you know, didn't become a sexual relationship for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And then when it did, she became a little unwell and then was diagnosed with HIV. Again, it's quite a common phrase. I think maybe the clinics probably hear it a lot and we do is, I never thought it would happen to me. So it doesn't discriminate HIV. So again, the purpose of some of our celebs showing, it's a normal test. It's a blood test. It can be a finger prick test. Mm-hmm. You can have your results instantly. And then you know.
Yeah.
You just know.
And that's the way forward, like, soon, is it? Yeah. It's for everyone to be openly discussing.
It's a lifelong health condition.
Yes.
That's what it is. HIV today is a lifelong health condition. It's not the death sentence. that it was in the early 80s.
No, and do you know what? I think what we can do now, as a group of listeners now, we've got a little community going on here. Yeah. Say little, it's huge. Thank you, everyone, for doing it. But we've got a community going on, and they're quite savvy on the old Twitter. So once you finish listening to this podcast, it's about to end. So I want you to go straight to Twitter, and I want you to write something about what you've heard today. Whether it's you enjoyed the podcast, I'm sure you've got something to say about Nikki's story, about the work Serena's doing, and just end your tweet with the hashtag HIV champion. And that's what we want. And we'll click through and we'll see you all, and we'll acknowledge that you've been listening, you've heard everything we've had to say, and moving forward, you're a part of our team. Thanks so much, ladies, for coming in today. Fantastic podcast.
Enjoyed
and I think it really needed to go out there.
Oh, thank you so much, Leanne.
Thank
it's been
you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.